The Truth News Network. You like it straight and can't find that anywhere? Rest easy. Always get the straight shot and always get the truth from the Truth News Network. Here with today's Truth Chapter is Dan Newman.
Yes, all you get here is the truth. And we have started a process of looking at 2020, the 2020 presidential election. I know it's way, way far away, but as you know, in politics in the United States, everything seems like it's tomorrow. And we got a plan. We got to figure out who's going to run in 2020. First, we looked at Michael Bloomberg. And today, well, we're looking at Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. Yep, former Vice President Uncle Joe. He's run for president before. Biden ran for the 1988 Democratic presidential nomination, formally declaring his candidacy way back on June 9th of 1987. He was attempting to become the youngest president since John F. Kennedy. When his campaign began, he was considered a potentially strong candidate because of his moderate image, his speaking ability on the stump, his appeal to baby boomers, his high-profile position as chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee at the upcoming Robert Bork Supreme Court nomination hearings, and his fundraising appeal. He had raised $1.7 million in the first quarter of 1987, more than any other candidate. Now remember, that's not a lot of money in a presidential campaign now in any quarter. But this is a long time ago, folks. By August of that year, Biden's campaign, whose messaging was confused due to staff rivalries, had begun to lag behind those of Michael Dukakis and Dick Gephardt, although he had still raised more funds than all candidates but Dukakis, and was seeing an upturn in the Iowa polls. In September of 1987, the campaign ran into trouble when he was accused of plagiarizing a speech that had been made earlier that year by Neil Kinnock, leader of the British Labour Party. Plagiarizing allegations came up again regarding an incident that allegedly occurred when Biden was in law school. He withdrew from the nomination race on September 23rd of 1987, saying his candidacy had been overrun by the exaggerated shadow of his past mistakes. Of course, he served as the 47th Vice President of the U.S. from 2009 to 2017 under Barack Obama. A member of the Democratic Party, he represented Delaware in the U.S. Senate from 1973 till 2009. Biden was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania in 1942 and lived there for 10 years before moving with his family to Delaware. He became an attorney in 1969 and was elected to the Newcastle County Council in 1970 in Delaware. He was first elected to the U.S. Senate in 1972 when he became the sixth youngest senator in American history. Biden was reelected to the upper house of Congress six times and was the fourth most senior senator when he resigned to assume the vice presidency in 2009. Biden was a longtime member and former chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. So let's look at Joe Biden politically. He was a longtime member of the Senate Committee on the Judiciary. He chaired it from 1987 until 1995, and he served as the ranking minority member on it from 1981 till 87, and again from 1995 to 1997. While chairman, Biden presided over the two most contentious U.S. Supreme Court confirmation hearings in history, at least until that of now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Those were for Robert Bork in 1987 and Clarence Thomas, now Justice Thomas, in 1991. In the Bork hearings, he stated his opposition to Bork soon after the nomination, reversing an approval in an interview of a hypothetical Bork nomination he had made the previous year, and angering conservatives who thought he could not conduct the hearings dispassionately. At the close, he won praise for conducting the proceedings fairly and with good humor and courage as his 1988 presidential campaign collapsed in the middle of the hearings. Rejecting some of the less intellectually honest arguments that other Bork opponents were making, Biden framed his discussion around the belief that the U.S. Constitution provides rights to liberty and privacy that extend beyond those explicitly enumerated in the text, and that Bork-Strong originalism was ideologically incompatible with that view. This is important to note in that recent Supreme Court nomination hearings have centered around nominees' opinion on that same matter. Bork's nomination was rejected in the committee by a 9-5 vote and then rejected in the full Senate by a 58-42 margin. In the Clarence Thomas hearings, Biden's questions on constitutional issues were often long and convoluted, sometimes such that Thomas forgot the question he was being asked. Viewers of the high-profile hearings were often annoyed by Biden's style. Thomas later wrote that despite earlier private assurances from the senator, Biden's questions had been akin to a beanball. The nomination came out of the committee without a recommendation, with Biden opposed, in part due to his own bad experiences in 1987 with his presidential campaign. Biden was reluctant to let personal matters enter into the hearings. Biden initially shared with the committee, but not the public, Anita Hill's sexual harassment charges on the ground she was not yet willing to testify. After she did, Biden did not permit other witnesses to testify further on her behalf, such as Angela Wright, who made a similar charge, and experts on harassment. Biden said he was striving to preserve Thomas's right to privacy and the decency of the hearings. The nomination was approved by a 52-48 vote in the full Senate, with Biden again opposed. During and afterward, Biden was strongly criticized by liberal legal groups and women's groups for having mishandled the hearings and having not done enough to support Anita Hill. Biden subsequently sought out women to serve on the Judiciary Committee and emphasized women's issues in the committee's legislative agenda. He was involved in crafting many federal crime laws. He spearheaded the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1994, also known as the Biden Crime Law, which included the federal assault weapons ban, which expired in 2004 after its 10-year sunset period and was not renewed. It also included the landmark Violence Against Women Act, which contains a broad array of measures to combat domestic violence. Biden was critical of the actions of independent counsel Kenneth Starr during the 90s, Whitewater controversy, and Lewinsky scandal investigations, and said, "It's going to be a cold day in hell before another independent counsel is granted the same powers." Yeah, right. Biden voted to acquit on both charges during the impeachment of President Clinton. As chairman of the International Narcotics Control Caucus, Biden wrote the laws that created the U.S. Drug Czar, who oversees and coordinates national drug control policy. In April of 2003, he introduced the controversial Reducing Americans' Vulnerability to Ecstasy Act, also known as the RAVE Act. He continued to work to stop the spread of date rape drugs and ecstasy. In 2004, he worked to pass a bill outlawing steroids used by many baseball players and other athletes. Biden's Kids 2000 legislation established a public-private partnership to provide computer centers, teachers, internet access, and technical training to young people, particularly to low-income and at-risk youth. Let's look at Joe Biden's positions on foreign policy. He was also a longtime member of the U.S. Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. In 1997, he became the ranking minority member and chaired the committee in January 01 and from 2001 through 2003. When Democrats retook control of the Senate following the 2006 elections, Biden again assumed the top spot on the committee in 07. He was generally a liberal internationalist in foreign policy. He collaborated effectively with important Republican Senate figures such as Richard Lugar and Jesse Helms, and sometimes went against elements of his own party. Biden was also co-chairman of the NATO Observer Group in the Senate. A partial list covering this time showed Biden meeting with some 150 leaders from nearly 60 countries and international organizations. He had voted against authorization for the Gulf War in 1991, siding with 45 of the 55 Democratic senators. He said the U.S. was bearing almost all the burden in the anti-Iraq coalition. Biden was a strong supporter of the 01 war in Afghanistan, saying, quote, whatever it takes, we should do it. Regarding Iraq, Biden stated in 02 that Saddam Hussein was a threat to national security and that there was no option but to eliminate that threat. In October of 02, Biden voted in favor of the authorization for the use of military force against Iraq, justifying the Iraq war. While he soon became a critic of the war and viewed his vote as a mistake, he did not push to require a U.S. withdrawal. He supported the appropriations to pay for the occupation, but argued repeatedly that the war should be internationalized, that more soldiers were needed, and that the Bush administration should level with the American people about the cost and the length of the conflict. Joe Biden economically. Of course, as vice president, Biden participated in the crafting and pushing through Congress the economic policies of President Obama. He supported deficit spending on fiscal stimulus in the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, the increased infrastructure spending proposed by the Obama administration, mass transit, including Amtrak, bus, and subway subsidies, the reduced military spending proposed in the Obama administration's fiscal year 2014 budget. He supported tax increases and fought any suggestions of decreasing taxes while in the U.S. Senate and also while vice president. Segueing to his look on social issues, on April 14, 2017, Biden released a statement both denouncing Chechnya authorities for their rounding up, torturing, and murdering of individuals who are believed to be gay, and stating his hope that the Trump administration honor a prior pledge to advance human rights by confronting Russian leaders over these egregious violations of human rights. On June 21st, during a speech at a Democrat National Committee LGBT gala in New York, Biden said, quote, hold President Trump accountable for his pledge to be your friend. On July 26th of the same year, after Trump announced a ban of transgender people serving in the military, Biden tweeted, every patriotic American who is qualified to serve in our military should be able to serve. Full stop. He also supports same-sex marriage. During an appearance at the Brainstorm Health Conference in San Diego on May 2nd of 2017, Biden said the public has moved ahead of the administration on science. On May 31st, Biden tweeted that climate change was an existential threat to our future, and remaining in the Paris Agreement was the best way to protect our children and global leadership. The following day, after President Trump announced his withdrawal of the U.S. from the Paris Agreement, Biden tweeted that the choice imperils U.S. security and our ability to own the clean energy future. While appearing at the Concordia Europe Summit in Athens, Greece on June 7th of 2017, Biden said, referring to the Paris Agreement, the vast majority of the American people do not agree with the decision the president made. Regarding immigration matters, Joe Biden, as vice president, fully supported President Obama's actions on illegal immigration. The Obama administration downsized Homeland Security by cutting funding, minimized southern border enforcement, and actually separated illegal adults from their children in compliance with a federal court ruling. The pictures of illegal immigrant children in cages widely circulated in 2018 in the press as children separated from their parents at the border under Trump were actually children separated in 2014 under President Obama. On September 5, 2017, after Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced that the Trump administration is rescinding the deferred action for childhood arrivals, Biden tweeted this, brought by parents, these children had no choice in coming here. Now they'll be sent to countries they've never known. Cruel, not America. When we come back, some final words about former Vice President Joe Biden and the possibility of a run for the presidency in 2020. You don't want to miss it. right back after this at the Truth News Network.
How can we say when you book direct at choicehotels.com, you always get the lowest price in our rooms, guaranteed?
Let's get someone to say it with a really low voice.
Carl?
Lowest price guaranteed.
What about the world's lowest limbo stick?
How low can you go?
Nice one, Carl.
Hey, I've got an idea. Just say, bada book, bada boom.
Bada book, bada boom.
Nice.
Always the lowest price guaranteed. Book now at choicehotels.com.
Dear Daddy, dear Mom,
I love you.
I miss you.
Every year, Snowball Express honors the children of fallen soldiers. Hi, everybody. I'm Tony Orlando. Join me in proudly supporting Snowball Express, a nonprofit that creates opportunities to help heal the children of our fallen heroes. We can never repay the sacrifice our soldiers have made, but we can honor them by giving back to their children. Donate now at snowballexpress.org.
Don't ever miss a story or podcast. Get an email link to every news story and podcast by entering your email address on the homepage of truthnewsnet.org. If it's relevant, you'll get it here.
And no doubt it is relevant to be talking about the 2020 run for the presidency and who is going to face Donald Trump, who has already announced he's going to run for re-election, or if he doesn't run for re-election or he loses the nomination, who might run against a Republican challenger. Today, we are talking about Joe Biden. Is it politically incorrect to mention that if elected, Joe Biden would be 79 years old when inaugurated? My other question is, why would any 79-year-old want to start such a stressful job as U.S. president at age 79? Secondly, could any 79-year-old endure the 24/7 rigors of the requirements to fulfill the role of CEO of the largest company on earth, the United States of America? If Joe runs, his doing so will signal his belief he can do the job and that he wants it. I know that he did when he was quite a bit younger. At 79, though, life circumstances and abilities diminish for us all. Mr. Biden, no doubt, is a very likable guy, thus his moniker, Uncle Joe. And yes, there are many documented circumstances and dozens of associated pictures of the former vice president getting a little too cozy with some young women, often to their obvious dismay. But I've not heard of any claim of sexual harassment or of any sexual misconduct on his part at all. That's not saying, as does so often in today's America, something might come out at a later date. Regarding the politics of the job, as U.S. Senator Biden, he was known for reaching out objectively to those Republican lawmakers working together to write and pass meaningful legislation. That ability is sadly missing in Congress today. No doubt about it. Congress just does not seem to get much done. He might be able to facilitate building bridges between the two parties to break the constant legislative logjam in Congress. The big question is, will he even run? And if he runs, can he win the Democrat Party nomination? More importantly, could a candidate, Joe Biden, beat an incumbent President Donald Trump or some other Republican contender if Trump does not run? Only time will give us those answers. Biden would bring much experience to such a race, along with some credible legislative achievements. But he also would be held accountable for many of the Obama actions that many in America still summarily reject. To put it concisely, in my opinion, a Biden run for president would be a bit dicey. And I just don't know where Americans sit on a Joe Biden presidency right now. Maybe we'll know, but maybe he won't run either. Hey, listen, we're through two. I'm not going to tell you what the number's going to be of the number of possible Democrat candidates running for president we're going to detail here, but we're going to give you the background on all of those that we think are in the running seriously. And at the end of the day, we're going to tell you who we think will be the Democrat candidate to run against a Donald Trump or some other Republican. And guess what? After that, we're going to tell you who's going to be the next president of the United States of America. That's all in coming days. Make sure that you tune in every day at www.truthnewsnet.org. We'll have a story and we'll have a podcast. And don't think that we're just doing 2020 Democrat presidential candidates in this series. We're breaking this series up by when there are other very important issues happening in the country, as there always are. We're going to break in and cover them as well. We'll just push our candidate analysis a little bit further back as we deal with those very important events. You always get the truth, and you always get it first at truthnewsnet.org. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great day. So long, everybody.
Just because you think something's right doesn't mean it's right. Just because you think something's wrong doesn't mean it's wrong. But always get the truth about right and wrong here at TNN, the Truth News Network.